Here's the 3-2, and that's a line drive right center field, giving chase to Springer. He makes the catch. Whoa, did he make up some ground. Laying out head first and stuck it right in the leather.
How about Mike Fiers' defense bailing him out there? What a great play by Springer. Full on dive, full extension, and able to grab that hard hit ball by Brugman. Way to pick up starting pitcher in Mike Fiers, who, as we mentioned, has been fighting his command a little bit.
That was ridiculous. What a catch to his backhand at that.
Now, another Astros podcast.
You see a set, leg kick and the pitch. Breaking ball, grounded sharply, backhanded by Alonso, goes to second for one, throws to first with Casilla covering, and that is the ball game. A 3-6-1 double play, and the A's stave off an Astros comeback effort in the bottom of the ninth. Hold on for a 6-4 win.
A fantastic effort. 14 hits for the Astros that couldn't get it done. It was the big grand slam by Ryan Healy, which was the backbreaker. The Astros just couldn't come back from that one.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Tough loss to Oakland yesterday. And when you look at that game, the turning point seemed to be the bottom of the fifth, top of the sixth sequence. Astros had the bases loaded and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth, but only came up with the one run. And meanwhile, the A's wound up loading the bases in the sixth inning and getting the grand slam to take the lead.
That was a tough turnaround for us. You know, we felt like had a ton of opportunities in the first five or six innings. Couldn't quite break through with the big hit. You know, we had the bases loaded, nobody out, end up with one run to tie the game. So we felt good about that, but felt a little empty based on what we could have had. And then they obviously broke through with the biggest hit at the biggest moment. So tough game. We did fight back at the end and made it interesting, but, you know, it was a tough game all the way around.
And Mike Fiers really trying to navigate through that sixth inning, season high pitch count for him. And I'm sure, especially with as short as the starters have been going lately, you really wanted him to try and get through that sixth inning if he could.
Yeah, we had four guys down in the bullpen. So that in an eight-man bullpen, we had four relievers available, which makes it difficult on the starter, makes it difficult in the sixth and seventh inning. But I thought Fiers did very well to get us to that point. I thought he'd gone as far as he could, obviously. You never know how it would have turned out if he had gotten to face Healy. But, you know, he pitched better than the line's going to indicate. He should be very proud of continuing his quality starts.
And meanwhile, you look at the way the rest of the game unfolded, and the A's got to use Sean Dulo. They got to use Ryan Matson. And because you're able to get three runs on the home run by Springer in the ninth, they wound up using their closer, Santiago Casilla. And a lot's been made about the Astros' success against the A's, but don't see much of those three guys, and that's a big reason why the Astros have the record they do against Oakland.
Yeah, we like when they stay in the bullpen, you know, just because that's their primary relievers. We beat up on a few of their other relievers. But, you know, that maybe that helps us in the next couple days that they've had to use some of their primary guys. It gives our guys a look at them that they don't normally get to see, but it also maybe fatigues them a little bit. We've got two games in the span of 18 hours or so. So it'll be a good opportunity for us to get into that bullpen again.
Have David Paulino on the mound today, and Paulino has been a real pleasant surprise with what he's been able to do. He's given you a chance to win most of the times that he's been out there and starting to get a little deeper in the games his last couple of outings.
Yeah, this will be an interesting start for him because he just saw the A's and they just saw him for the first time. And once you see the big, tall release, the heavy breaking ball usage, I'm not sure how they're going to make adjustments to him, and then we'll have to adjust back to them. But Polino's been good his last few starts, and if he's landing his breaking ball in the strike zone, he can be very difficult on the opponent.
When you have a starting pitcher, and we saw this with Fiers yesterday as well, facing the same team two times in a row, is there that fine line between just continuing to do what makes you successful versus maybe changing things up a little bit because you just saw that team?
A little bit of a chess match because you've got to, you know, you can continue to do the same thing over and over again if you're getting the results, but obviously the swings get a little bit better the more that the hitter sees you. Depending on what your wipeout pitch is, I mean, sometimes the breaking ball is so good that you can just continue to go to that and the hitters can't adjust. We see Lance McCullers do that all the time. So, you know, as we adjust during the game today and the swings that they're taking off of Polino will obviously alter his game plan.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
This is Steve Sparks, and I have Jed Lowry, former Astro, of course, and now a current member of the Oakland A's, the Astros, before the second game of this series. Jed, I want to ask you something about a surgery you had. I believe it was last September. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I ended up getting two in September last year, but the one that you're talking about is deviated septum, and something that I had no idea I had and how much it was actually affecting me.
So how did you ask questions about it if you didn't know you had it?
Okay, so I knew that I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't recovering well. I had a sleep study done actually in 2015 that showed my sleep quality was like high 40s, low 50s. I don't remember the exact number percentage. And normal is at least 80%. And you know, for me, you know, so now that I had this, you know, I guess evidence that I was having this issue with sleeping, and it wasn't, it was quality of sleep. That's what it boils down to. Because I was sleeping 8-9 hours at night, just not getting the quality sleep that you need to recover.
But there was no interruptions, but it just wasn't that deep sleep.
Yeah, it's that REM sleep that I wasn't getting into, and that's when, you know, all the restorative properties happened.
Okay.
So back to how I figured it out. I went and got my sinuses checked because I always had some sort of allergy that I wasn't sure what it was when I went to spring training in Arizona. And so that off season, I went to the ENT and I said, you know, hey, I've, you know, what can help me prepare for spring training with this allergy? I've always had bad sinuses. And he checked my sinuses and he's like, those are fine. But the issue is you've got a badly deviated septum. It, you know, it's supposed to be straight and it actually is an S and touches both sides of your nasal cavity. And then you also have these turbinates that are chronically overinflamed.
Did you have some kind of a trauma that where that began?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can think of is I got hit in the nose doing a camp for my old high school coach.
Gotcha.
And that was actually even longer ago, but that's the only thing that I can think of.
So you got the surgery,
yep.
You got correction, and you immediately noticed a difference?
I mean, the first night I got it.
Really?
The first night I got it, I woke up the next day, and it was... It was like I had actually been breathing all night. Like I was just so much more mentally acute. Wow. I think the best way to describe the state that I was in for the previous 3 years is like semi-drunk, just really? Kind of like in this cloudy state all day. And you know, I think that's you know, not only does that affect you mentally, but you know, physically when you're not mentally sharp, you feel worse physically.
Yeah. So you got that taken care of, and yeah. Right in the middle of that, you guys had your second baby,
yeah.
It was Miles.
Yeah.
How's he doing, first of all?
Yeah.
And second of all, you still got that great sleep in less time, that better rest, right?
He's doing great. You know, he's almost 9 months old now, and you know, it's fun to watch those guys develop, and it happens so quickly. My daughter will be 4 at the end of the year, and hard to imagine. But I was actually getting less sleep because we had a newborn at home. You know, fewer hours, but actually feeling better.
That's Jed Lowry. Thanks for updating us on that. We were talking about it a little bit on the broadcast last night, so.
Yeah.
Love the clarity. Hopefully it'll help somebody else who may have that problem.
Yeah. No, I know Mike Napoli, he ended up getting the surgery and having – he had sleep apnea and came back and had a big year as well. So, you know, sleep is important, and it's something that, you know, I've always known that, but – and I've always, you know, made sure that I got my rest. But if you're not getting into that deep sleep, it's almost irrelevant.
There you go. That's Jed Lowry. Thanks a lot for catching up. Good
All
luck
right.
the rest of the way.
Thanks,
Chris.
This has been a production.
And whoever in this crowd wasn't standing before, well, they're getting to their feet now.
Of the Houston Astros.
This place is rocking right now.
Radio Network.